Aren't you glad that we have them here? It's a song, such a long name. I just can never say it without having to read it, okay? And I don't have my notes here. Dead Sea Bottom Boys. Sorry for that, okay? Just I need my notes to say your name correctly. But it means something. It means good to me that every year I get to hear them sing. When I feel like they kind of volunteer, when I see that I'm going to be preaching, I say, hey, let me come and sing for you. So excited to have them. As one of those songs, By and By, they sing, we sing it in Spanish. In Spanish, has a different wording, not even close. And in Spanish, the title of that song is translated into English. Well, let me say it in Spanish. Pecador, ven a Cristo Jesús. Sinner, come to Christ Jesus. That's the name of that song in Spanish. And it is a song that is an invitation to come to Christ, to people to give their life, to commit their lives to Jesus Christ. And this morning we have one person who already committed his life to Jesus Christ before this service. I'm not going to mention names, but just let giving a big hand for that decision. That's the best decision we can ever make at all. Now, thank you for coming back. I know that this is the third of the series of Our Identity in Christ. We are learning that our identity as Christians is not determined by the world. Our identity as Christians, or the church identity, cannot be determined by Hollywood, by nobody else, but except the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen? Amen. That reminds me about a preacher friend of mine, a Pentecostal preacher, who once was invited to a Methodist church. They are so serious, just like us. So he was invited, and he started preaching. And you know how the Pentecostal brothers and sisters are. They're kind of, hallelujah, amen, brother. Preach it, brother. And all, you preach it, and your people get excited and all that. So he went and started preaching, and nobody say anything. So it occurred to him to ask the congregation, how many can you say amen? How many can say amen? And everybody raised their hand. So how many can say amen this morning? Amen. Well, good. You raise your hand and you can also say amen. I like to know that you are awake, okay, during the time when I'm preaching. Now, since we are talking about our identity in Christ, let me describe to you the word identity that I found in Webster Dictionary. Webster Dictionary says, identity, the distinguishing character or personality of an individual. So identity is the distinguishing character or personality of an individual. It is equal to individuality. It comes to my mind that God didn't make humans in series. He made each and every one so unique, so beautiful that you are unique. You don't look like anybody else in this world. So that's what I like Vanessa when she put this fingerprint in. I love it Because this is what is our identity. Whenever I had to open my iPhone, I press the button, you know, reach my finger, and it opens. You know, nobody else can do that. Now tell the person next to you, you are unique in Christ. And you know something, everybody looks so beautiful. Because in Christ, when we come to Christ, a transforming process begins. And this transformation begins with cleaning. That reminds me about Max Lucado was telling a story about his daughters when they were little. And he used to take them to a park nearby. And there was a place with sand for little children to play. And you know, when we were kids, we all loved to play with sand, right? We got all dusty and sand is all over our bodies. So his little girl was all filled with sand. When the ice cream men show up, you know, they love to go to where children are, and they love to go there, or they play the little music and all that. So, and children, soon enough, they learn that, hey, there's ice cream in that truck. So that little girl asked her daddy, you know, just like all of us who have daughters, when our daughters come and ask, say, Dad, I love you so much. So I learned a long time ago when my daughter used to say, Dad, I love you so much, I get my pocket, you know, right here. Hold my credit card, sit safe. Because they know how to get to us. They know how to touch our hearts. They know how to get what they want. So this little girl asked, Daddy, can I have ice cream? And you know, you as a father, and you want to give your daughter what she wants. So he said, yes, dear. But then he realized she was full of sand. So he couldn't give her the ice cream that she wanted before doing what? Cleaning. So he found a water fountain and he put water in her face and her hands, and you know, so she could hold her ice cream. Then she could enjoy ice cream. And that's what God does with us. When we come to Christ, it begins this process of cleaning our life. Whatever holds us back. And the Lord, when you come to Christ, when you give your life to Jesus, he starts this process of transformation. The first thing he starts doing is cleaning your life. And he is giving you a new identity. Last week, for those of you who were not here, we ended up with three concepts that we are going to go and meditate today. The first one is that you are no longer slave. The second one is that you are a new creation. You are a holy being. And the third one is a new identity with the mind of Christ. Open your Bibles in 1 Peter Chapter 1. Not so long ago, we, on a Wednesday night Bible study, we just finished 1 Peter. I love that letter, Peter. Verse 13, the Bible says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sobered, Let me repeat it again. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. Verse 14, it says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you live in ignorance. Everybody says, I'm no longer ignorant. Say it again. Now, let me tell you something. This is important for us. We are going to stop right here because there are some things that we can get from this scripture. Okay? Now, let me say something. Ignorance brings slavery with it. When you are ignorant and somebody knows better than you, that person can do with you whatever he or she wants to do. As long as you're ignorant, as long as you don't know, this person can do whatever he or she wants to do with you, and you don't even know it. Now, let's go back on verse 14. This says, as obedient children, remember we learned the term about obedient last week? Okay, we are obedient. We are not disobedient. We are obedient now. Do not conform. Now, the word conform is to make to the form of. The scripture, what it's saying, do not make yourself to the form of the world. Do not conform to the evil desires. Now you know the desires that you had before were evil desires. You didn't know it when you were living in the world, when you were living in your sins. You didn't know it then. Now you know it. Those were evil desires. Now we are learning from this scripture that our new identity is with the mind of Christ. We learned that. I gave you the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, that it says that we have the mind of Christ. Now, let me read to you Romans chapter 12, verse 2. That's going to sound very alike to what Peter is saying. It says, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Once again, do not conform, do not make to the form of this world. Now, but be transformed by what? Can you say it again? The renewing of your mind. How are we going to be transformed? But by the renewing of our mind. Now, let me tell you something. The renewing of our mind comes every time when you come here. You learn the Word of God. You learn the will of God. Every time that you go to Bible study and you learn the will of God, and you're renewing your mind. So that's why I encourage you to register for the Inhabited so you can be a better disciple. Learn your Bible. Read your Bible. Pray and let the Holy Spirit guide you. Because this is the renewing of our mind. Now we are learning. We are in this process of transformation. As soon as we learn what it is that we need to do, and the Holy Spirit is helping us to do that. Do not conform to the pattern of this world and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Next week, we are going to be talking about that. So tell the person next to you, it's going to be good next week. The second thing we learn here is that we are no longer slave. Walk with me to Galatians chapter 4, verse 7. Take a look what the scripture says. So you are no longer slave, but what? God's child. And since you are His child, God has made you also an heir. And what? Heir. So you not only you're no longer the slave, but now you are heir. I love what the Living Bible says. Let me read it to you because you're gonna love it even more. The Living Bible says, we are no longer slaves, but God's own sons. And since we are His sons, everything He has, what? Oh, I love that. You need to come back next week to learn a little more about that. Okay? So everything He has belongs to us, for that is the way God planned it. Church, let me give you an example. There's a difference between a visitor or a child coming back home. When you have visitors, you welcome them at the door, you invite them, you sit in them in your living room. Most of us, we try to keep it clean, right? Just in case somebody comes and shows up, and the rest of the house is a mess. But right there is just, hey, so clean and nice, because visitors can come in anytime. So you invite your visitor, they sit in there, offering them a Coke or soft drink or whatever. I'm not saying commercials here. But what happens when your children come home? They come and give you a hug and a kiss, and they go directly to the refrigerator and said, hey, what is it what you have here? Why don't you have soft drinks anymore? And you have to say, well, I didn't have just to go to the store and get. Do you see the difference between the visitor and the child coming home? Why is that? The difference is the attitude. Because the child, the son or the daughter, they know. Even though they live somewhere else, but this is still their house. I mean, and they just go and they open the refrigerator, they go in and they watch TV, they change channels. You know, they don't ask permission. They just do it because they know this is their home. So that's something we're gonna learn about. Go in more detail next week. So come back next week, okay? Come back next week and bring somebody else. Now, let's go to verse 15. Verse 15, this says, but just as He called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Verse 16 says, for it's written, be holy because I am holy. This is giving you and giving me the reason why is it that we need to be holy. Verse 15, it says, just as He who called you is holy. Who called you? The Lord, Jesus. He called you. He is holy in all you do. Be holy you as well. Now, He is talking about what the Leviticus number chapter 11, verses 44 and 45 say. And And in this scripture, you see, you know, all of you scholars that are here know that the book of Leviticus is like the handbook of the priests and the Levites as well, the instructions. So we learned the first Sunday that you and I, we are royal priesthood. We are somebody special. The Lord transformed us from something that was worthless into something very valuable because of the power of transformating power of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. How many can say amen? Amen. Yes, some of you did it. That is what it's called. Now, we learned two terms in the last two sermons about grace. The first one was what? Say it aloud. Prevenient grace, good. The second one was what? Justifying grace, yeah, good. Justifying grace. Now, the third one I want you to learn today and take with you is sanctifying grace. And sanctifying grace is grace power over sin. In other words, it's the power of the Holy Spirit in you to overcome your sin. Are you with me? So, church, sanctifying grace is the power to overcome your sins. There's in Christianity, in us Christians, there's no such expression, I can't do it. That does not exist because the Holy Spirit gives us the power to overcome our sins. So, what I'm trying to say here is that it is important for us to remember. Now, write down this Romans chapter 6. It's not going to be shown in the screens. Take it with you, Romans chapter 6. And you will learn that sin has no power over you. And you have the power to overcome sin. So we are not going to talk about this right now. I'm running out of time. I wish I had some more time. But I want to leave you with these two expressions that also will not be in the screens. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in this body, in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Church, we are living a holy life because Christ Jesus is in our life, is in our hearts, and he is the one who is leading us into holiness. The last thing I want you to remember that we all need to pursue holiness. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And I'm so glad that my Wednesday night students are here because we went to Colossians as well. And you know it so well. Just a little bit of a commercial here. We're going to start Hebrews in the fall anyway. But Colossians chapter 3 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds, once again, minds, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you die, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Church, Christ is the one who determines our identity. When you come to Christ, you begin a new life, a wonderful life. Next week, we're going to talk about abundant life. You don't want to miss it. I invite you to come. But for today, I want you to pray and say, Lord, I want to be holy as you want me to be holy. I have given on some things that I shouldn't be doing. Holy Spirit, come. Empower me to overcome that. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this day. A brand new day, never lived before. It is full of your blessings. Lord, we are so thankful for those wonderful things that you have done for all of us. And you are helping us to live this holy life. We are not giving up on sin. We declare war on our own sin. And Lord, we declare the power of the Holy Spirit to live a holy life for you. We want to be different. We don't want to conform to the evil desires that we had when we were living in our ignorance. Guide us, O Lord, to live for you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I invite the ushers to come, please.